Well, thank you so much. You may be seated. Well, we want to honor our moms here today. Happy Mother's Day. And it was especially touching today. Thank you, Adam, for honoring my wife. And she is a mother to many children here. And so thank you for that. All those that put some time and effort into to putting that together for her. I'm grateful for her, and I very much appreciate it. Well, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and I hope you've had a nice hot breakfast this morning and maybe some wonderful lunch plans. But regardless, I hope that you've been honored here this morning, whether with a phone call or with an act of service here today. But at Haven Baptist Church, we want to honor all of our mothers as well and just say thank you for all that you do. I was as I was preparing for this message here today, I was going online, just having a look at some videos while I was just thinking about Mother's Day. And I came across a video, and the interviewer was interviewing some kids from various ages, even adults. And as they were talking, he asked sort of a question, I guess, along the lines of what do you think of your mother, or what's so special about your mom, or something along those lines. And all it did was just give the answer to that question. But these kids were sort of just took the time really starting to think about it and what their mom meant to them, and they really said some very heartfelt things about their mom, and you could tell it was from the heart. But then the interviewer said, "Why don't you give her a call right now and tell her that?" You're like, "What? Well, right now? You know, let me call right? Yeah, right now. Okay." And so they called their mom, and it was quite interesting to see their own reaction whenever they start to actually explain to the mom what the mom really meant to them. You know, sometimes we believe that our moms are important to us, and we have all these ideas in our minds about how great and wonderful our moms is, but how often do we actually express that to our moms? I know sometimes we think, oh, well, they know. Well, maybe not. But let me encourage you this Mother's Day to really take the time to think about what your mom means to you. Pick up the phone. Give her a call. And let her know how wonderful she is, because after all, she is the giver of your life. We do recognize that For some, this is sort of a bit of a tough day. Some mothers have passed away. For some, motherhood is only a dream. Other mothers may be estranged from their children, and some mothers may even outlive their children. And so we recognize this may be a tough day for you. But I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that you came this morning to allow us to love on you and to honor you and to show you how much we love you and care for you. So with that, let me pray for our mothers this morning. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us, Lord, and we especially thank you for the role of motherhood. And Lord, it's not an easy role. The sacrifices that our moms make, Lord, as children, sometimes we never understand those sacrifices until we become parents ourselves. So, Lord, I thank you for the mothers that we have here today. Lord, I pray that you would give them strength, give them wisdom as they raise their children. That, Lord, you would guide them. And I pray that you would allow us as parents, and especially as mothers, Lord, to raise up our children to love you and to teach them the things that you would have them to learn. But Lord, also we pray for those that are struggling this time of year as well. For whatever reason, Lord, and we pray that you would just have your Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts, Lord, and just wrap your loving arms around them and just comfort them right now, this time. And Lord, I'm grateful that they're here. I'm grateful that they're in your house, Lord, so they can receive your love. And they can receive our love, Lord. So we honor them today. We pray that you keep your hand on them. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, we're going to start a brand new series here today called Famous Mothers of the Bible. And so each Mother's Day, we're going to go through a mother of the Bible. We're going to start with Genesis and go all the way through the Bible. And so so we are going to be going through mothers of the Bible until Jesus comes, okay? Because we got a lot of mothers to go through in the Bible. But we thought it would be a cool series to go through each Mother's Day. We'll just take another mother and talk about her life and things that we can learn from her, not only from a mother's perspective, but from all of our perspectives as well. And so today we're going to be looking at the first mother in the Bible. In fact, we're going to be looking at the first mother of all of history. Eve was a woman of many firsts. She was the first woman. She was the first wife. She was the first mother. And she is the only woman who has ever made it, was ever made without a mother or a father. And of course, you know the old joke, you probably heard it, when you get to heaven, how are you going to recognize Adam and Eve? They're going to be the ones without the belly buttons, right? Some of you will get that when you get home. Eve is the only human beings to have ever come from a man. And Eve and all other human beings came from other women. So the Bible tells us that Eve was created with Adam in the image of God. And she was commanded with Adam to rule over the world. She was commissioned with Adam to be the fruit, but to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. And she was created from Adam to be a partner with him. Now, I love the way that Matthew Henry so beautifully puts this. He says, the woman was made made of a rib, out of his side, out of the side of Adam. Not made out of his head to rule over him, not out of his feet to be trampled on upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him. Under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. Isn't that great? I love that. Eve is also the first to fall into sin. She was deceived by Satan by disobeying God. And then she convinced Adam that to join him in her sin. And when God confronted her, she blamed the serpent, refusing to take responsibility for her sin. Eve was a woman who knew and understood loss. She experienced the loss of innocence when she disobeyed God in Eden. She experienced the loss of paradise when God removed her and Adam from the garden. And she experienced loss of her son Abel when her other son Cain murdered him. Worst of all, she experienced the loss of unhindered relationship with God, which she and Adam enjoyed in the garden. Eve's loss was our loss as well, for we are all born into this world as sinners, separated from God in need of a Savior. So this morning, the text that we're going to be looking at, it really proclaims the hope in the face of such terrible losses. In the book of Genesis, it records Adam's naming of Eve after the fall. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 20, Genesis chapter 3, verse 20 says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living." The name Eve actually means life or life-giving. And so every time someone spoke the name of Eve, it would signify life. Before, he would refer to her as woman or as wife. His name was Adam, but she really didn't have a proper name. Now, this is important because Adam's name is related to the Hebrew word for ground. Adam was formed from the ground. And when God judged Adam for his sin, God told him in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return." And so Adam, whose name is a grim reminder that we are all destined for the ground, in faith he named his wife Eve. A name which means life instead of death. And as he did this, because she would become the mother of all living things, all living humans, he perceived and believed that through the woman, in some ways to come, that salvation would be provided for the human race. And he gives permanent expression of this hope and the significance of his name that he gives to his wife. Here we are filled with incredible joy at the dawn of faith, a faith that marks a beautiful new beginning of spiritual life. Adam bears the name of a dying body, but Eve bears the name of a living soul. Think about that. So what did Adam mean when he called Eve the mother of all living things, or all living humans? There are three ways which we are to understand this phrase. Three things that Adam spoke by faith when he gave her the name Eve. First of all, we see the mother of all the physically living. The mother of all the physical living. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 says, "Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" Now remember, this was before the fall. This was back in Genesis chapter 1 when God first created the world. After each act of creation, God pronounced that what he had created was good. In fact, after creating Adam and Eve and commanding them to multiply and be fruitful, we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So this was part of God's good plan from creation. From the very beginning, he created the first man and the first woman, and from them would come all other human beings. And they would come together as husband and wife, and they would bear children, and then their children would go and bear children, and so on and so forth. And so they would fill the earth with human beings, all created in God's image for God's glory. That was the plan. But then sin intervened, and Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and suddenly, for the first time, they experienced shame and guilt and fear. And when God came looking for them in the garden, they hid from him for fear that their sin would be exposed. When God confronted them with their sin, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. But then God goes and judges all three of them. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 14 says, "And so the Lord said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall not eat dust. All the days of your life I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' But also to the woman, her judgment. To the woman he said, 'I will greatly multiply your sorrows and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And then he said to Adam, 'Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you, saying, "You shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herbs of the field. And in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return.'" And so here he pronounces a curse on the serpent. He told the woman that she would have pain in childbirth. He told the man that he would return to the ground from which he was taken. And while these judgments of sin were indeed strong, there was a moment when Adam caught a glimpse of hope shining through. He was Adam, representative of all mankind, and all men and women were now under the death sentence because of him and his sin. And like him, they would all return to the ground. But the word of hope was this. Yes, his wife would experience pain in childbirth, but that meant she would still bear children. God had promised or pronounced judgment of sin on them. But in his mercy, he had not abandoned Adam and Eve. God was not going to start over with someone else. Adam's wife would still bear children, so her name was Eve, because she would become the mother of all the physically living. Now, of course, Eve was not the mother of Adam, but she would be the mother of all the physically living to come. She would be the mother of the whole human race. In God's grace, the human race would come through her. And in that sense, she is the mother of all. But also, she's the mother of all the spiritually living as well. Back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Here God is speaking judgment upon the serpent. This was part of God's curse on the serpent. It was a prophecy that there was going to be a spiritual battle to come. There would be enmity between the offspring of the serpent and between the offspring of the woman. Now, I know a lot of women out there don't like snakes. And there's probably a lot of men that don't like snakes either. But this is not necessarily what this verse is talking about here. It's not talking about women and snakes because the Bible identifies the serpent as none other than Satan himself. The word Satan means adversary. And that is exactly who Satan is. He's an adversary. He is opposed to God and he is opposed to us. And notice how he's described by Jesus. Jesus here is talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders at that time. And they didn't like what Jesus was doing. And Jesus was sort of pulling people away from them because he was representing God. And they didn't particularly like that. So they fought against him. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. They wanted to get rid of him. And Jesus was speaking to them. And in John 8:44, he says, you are of your father, the devil. Notice that. I mean, they thought that their father was Abraham. He says, your father is the devil. And the desires of your father, you want to do. And notice how he describes Satan here. For he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan hates God. He hates God's people. And so the offspring of the serpent are not snakes. Rather, they are those who follow in Satan's footsteps. Those who are opposed to God and his ways. If that is who the serpent's offsprings are, then who is the woman's offspring? Well, it can't mean all of the physical offspring because that would include all humans. And we've already seen that many of the woman's physical offsprings would follow Satan rather than God. Jesus just showed us here in the scriptures and demonstrated that for us. And so we must be talking in a spiritual sense here of those people who are only following the Lord and who only love the Lord. The Bible often speaks of the righteousness and also of the wicked. The righteous are those who love and follow God. The wicked are those who do not. And so we have these two groups of people here pictured in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The offspring of Satan and the offspring of Eve. And there is a great spiritual battle that's going on between the two. And the battle continues to this present day. But it began back in Genesis. As soon as Eve bore her first sons, Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. Cain murdered his brother because Abel's heart was right with God and Cain's was not. It was a sign of things to come. And as we continue through Genesis, Cain's line produces further violence and rebellion against God. Meanwhile, Adam and Eve had another son. And we read in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, she says, and whom Cain killed. The seed, there's the same word that's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The promise of a godly line was not fulfilled through Cain. Perhaps maybe it may be fulfilled through Seth. In fact, if we look at verse 26, it says, for as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. What's this? Then men began to call on the name of the Lord. And so the book of Genesis presents us with a godly seed of a woman represented by Seth and his offspring, as opposed to the ungodly seed of the serpent represented by Cain and his offspring. We find a dramatic picture of this battle in the vision given to the Apostle John in Revelation 12. In his vision, John sees the Satan pictured as a dragon. And we read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, it says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, talking about Israel here, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. God told the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your offspring, and her and his offspring. Adam heard God's word, and he named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the spiritually living. She is the mother of all those who follow God and hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. But also we see with Eve, she was the mother of Christ the Savior. She was the mother of Christ the Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, 15, it's packed with information. Let's go back and have another look at it. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. Notice the word seed there, it's capitalized. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. This is the earliest part of the prophecy we have of Christ in the Old Testament. It is an amazing testimony of God's grace. No sooner has mankind sinned that God promised to send a Savior. In Romans 6:23 it says, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. God told Adam in Genesis chapter 2 verses 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded man saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you shall eat of it, what does it say? You shall surely die. For the wages of sin is death. When Adam ate from the tree, he did not die physically, though his body began to decay that day. But he did die spiritually. He became separated from God by his sins and in need of a Savior. God promised that the Savior would come through the offspring of Eve. And it's a fascinating study to trace the line of Christ throughout the Old Testament. It begins with Adam and Eve and then passes through Seth and eventually to Noah and then Noah's son Shem. And then through Adam and Isaac and Jacob. Then it passes through Jacob's son Judah and on through to David, his descendants. And finally we get to Christ, who was born of Mary, who was pledged to be married to Joseph. But Mary and Joseph stood in the line of David, but through different lines of descent. Joseph was not the physical father of Jesus, but he was Jesus' adopted father. And it was through Joseph that Jesus received the right to rule in the royal line of kings. Eve was the first to sin, and soon Adam followed. Through their sin, death came upon the entire human race. And yet Adam does not call his wife the mother of all the dying. Rather, in faith, believing God's promise, he calls her Eve, the mother of all the living. Adam's name means ground and became a reminder of our death. But Adam called his wife Eve because of the promised Savior of the world that was going to come through her. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into the world. The eternal Son of God became flesh. He was born into our world as a human being. Satan struck at Jesus' heel, attempting to attack him in his humanity. But Jesus crushed Satan's head, dying for our sin on the cross and freeing us from Satan and from sin and from death so that we could live with God forever. Why did Adam call his wife Eve the mother of all living? Because she is the mother of all the physically living, she is the mother of all the spiritual living, and she is the mother of Christ, the Savior, in which we find eternal salvation. So what do we learn through this? Let's make some application from this. I've got three words of application for you on our study of Eve here this morning. And the first has to do with our human society. We are all part of one human race. This is an important truth to grasp because we tend to divide people into different races. Or historically, and people have mistreated or discriminated against because of their so-called race. But God's word shows us that we are one human race. We all have our mother Eve. We all have one common mother, and so we are all related to each other. So we need to treat each other in that manner. There is no room for racial prejudice or discrimination in the Christian faith. But also we see that as it relates to the helpless sinner. We are all sinners by nature, and we have a need for a Savior. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, their sin was passed down to their children, and then their children passed it down to their children. So we are all sinners. And the just punishment of sin is death. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered to the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. If you're here today and you think, well, I'm not really a sinner. I've really not done a whole lot of things wrong. Well, listen, that contradicts what the Word of God says. If you are born into this world, then you are born into sin. And when we say that we're all sinners by nature, we simply mean that we're all born with a nature that naturally wants to sin. No one has to teach us how to sin. How many of you taught your children how to be selfish? How many of you taught your children how to bite? Be mean. Be selfish. Steal from other kids. No, they learn that on their own. That's part of their nature. And as soon as they're old enough, they will sin all of their own. Listen, every single one of us, we are all sinners by nature, and we have a need for a Savior. But also, next, it relates to our Heavenly Savior. Jesus is the only Savior for all of mankind. Jesus is the promised offspring of the woman who crushed the serpent's head. He is the Savior God promised to send, and he is the only one. It is only through him and his death on the cross that we may be forgiven for our sins. The Bible says, again, go into this verse in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. And I'm so glad the scriptures doesn't stop right here. As I was meeting with the family a few weeks ago, we talked about this very verse, and I told them, I said, man, I love the buts in the Bible. Because he doesn't stop there. For the wages of sin is death. If he stopped there, we'd all be in trouble. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, Adam's sin brought death to us all, but in faith, Adam named his wife Eve, life. The mother of all living. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the only Savior for all of mankind. There is no salvation in any other. The name Eve brought hope to a sinful world. The message of Eve was life through her offspring, Jesus Christ. What hope does your name bring to those in your circle of influence? You don't need to be a biological mom in order to be a mother to someone in need. You too can share the message of life and allow God to work through you in order to provide eternal life to others with the message of Jesus Christ. You can be a spiritual mom to someone else. Moms, how would you like to receive the greatest gift on Mother's Day, the greatest gift of all? There is no greater gift than the gift of eternal life that comes from putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I don't know where each of you are spiritually. I hope all of you have received Christ. But this gift isn't just for you, mothers, on Mother's Day. This is a gift of salvation that's offered to everyone. Everyone who is willing to come, no matter your gender, no matter your color, no matter your economic status, it doesn't matter any of that. The invitation is the same to all because we all come from one mom. The invitation is to all of us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, anyone, for all of us. Let me encourage you to come to him today if you need Jesus as your Savior. I'd love the opportunity to sit down and talk with you about that. If you want to meet with me, I'd love to take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved. If you don't want to set up an appointment with me, please do so. There's nothing more important to this. I mean, you may get a great breakfast in bed. You may get a great lunch. You may get flowers. You may get cards. But this is the greatest gift that you can ever receive on Mother's Day. So I want to say to you all, Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all our moms and those that have been like a mom to others. This is your special day. And we want to honor you here this morning. And as a small token of our appreciation, we provided some muffins for moms. And so let me encourage you, before you run off, stick around and have some muffins with our moms here today. And And let's take the time to just go around and let our moms know how much we appreciate them and all the work that they do. And let's love on our moms here this morning. We want you to know that you are loved and appreciated. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart here this morning, thanks for being a mom. Thanks for being a mom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the hope that we find here in Genesis. Lord, right in the midst of your judgment against mankind, we have hope. Hope of a Savior. Hope that can change the world. And so, Lord, I pray for our moms, and I pray that this message will come through our moms to our kids, and or maybe to others, Lord, who need a spiritual mom. But Lord, this is not just the responsibility of moms. This is a responsibility for all believers. And I pray that we would take this message and we would share the gospel of Jesus with all who will listen. And we thank you for it. But Lord, we just pray an extra special blessing on our moms here today, Lord. And just pray that you would cover them, that you would keep your hand on them, that you would strengthen them. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray.